We're continuing the shir in Likutei Halachos, Ora Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Tefillin, Halacha Vav, paragraph Chaf Ches. We're in the middle of the topic of Purim, based on chapter 72 in Likutei Moran, in the second half of Likutei Moran, and also based on everything we've been learning so far in this halacha. V'zeh b'chinas Simchas Purim. Based on what we've been learning, we'll be able to understand the great joy of the holiday of Purim. V'zeh b'chinas chayiv inish lebesumi b'puria adelo yoda bein oro homon leboruch Mordechai. And the Gemara tells us that a Jew is required to drink alcoholic beverages on Purim to the point where it'll affect his mind in such a way that he won't be able to differentiate between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. Ki bepurim shemapilim umevatlin es hageus, because on the holiday of Purim, when we're bringing about the downfall of Haman, Amalek, the Sitrachra, which is all about gaiva, arrogance, shehu bechinas klipas Haman Amalek, v'oz nichye hashiflus shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom shebechol eiver. And that's when we bring to life the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is found in each and every single organ of every Jew, shehu bechinas kedushas Mordechai, which in the holiday of Purim is represented by Mordechai HaTzadik. We know the term Moshe Rabbeinu refers, Rabbeinu Zal mentions this throughout Likutei Moran, represents the Tzadik. During Moshe Rabbeinu's time, the Tzadik was Moshe Rabbeinu. During the time of Mordechai HaTzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mordechai HaTzadik. In fact, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Moshe Isa B'chol Dor V'Doro. Moshe Rabbeinu is found in every generation, in the leading Tzadik, and in the leading Tzadikim of the generation. Shenizgaloz Behooro Gedoilo V'Atzuma Moed. And this light of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Mordechai HaTzadik, was revealed in an incredible, huge way. Afilu betoikef hoasiya, even in this lowest of the worlds, this most materialistic of all the worlds. Shaideze ikar toikef hanes. And that was what was able to bring about this incredible miracle. Ki im lav. Because were it not for the fact that the great light of Mordechai HaTzadik was revealed, hoyo klia chas v'shon, the Jewish people would have been annihilated. Kimavura bekisvei ho'arizal, as the Arizal explains, that it was only because Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther Amalka stepped up to the plate, and they were zeichet to come forth with all of their greatness, with their tefillah, and with their fasting, and with their all of their merits, and gathering together the Jewish people, and influencing them to do a real, true tshuva, that's what saved the day. Were it not for that, chas v'shalom, it could have been all over. Hainu bechinas seoras kedushas or pnei atzadik. And this is an example of the shining of the light of the face of the tzadik that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about there in Likutei Moran. Shaideze nimshach bechinas anova, which draws humility, bechinas chaim nitzchim, eternal life, shemevatel hageus, and it eliminates arrogance, shehu bechinas homon, which is homon, shehu bechinas sitra demoisa, vialkein, and therefore oz hasimcha gedoyla moed, because of the fact that Purim represents a victory for the tzaddik, a victory for humility over arrogance, now you'll understand why the great joy and happiness. Bibichinas, as the Pasuk says, Soiva Samochois, I will be filled, satiated with happiness. Bichinas, Toidieni Oirach Chaim, Soiva Samochois Esponecho. Dovid HaMelech says, Hashem, teach me the way of life, I will be filled with joy and happiness. Based on what we just reviewed, that arrogance is death, humility is eternal life, and Purim was a victory for humility, which is eternal life. The Pasuk says, Toideinu Rachaim Seva Samochois, that when there's eternal life, then we are filled with happiness. Ki Chaim Nitzchim Hanal, Heim etzem hasimcha niflo v'kanal. Because eternal life, that's real joy and happiness. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in other places. When a person, let's say, gets a raise in their job at work, or a person has a birthday in this world, the different celebrations that people are used to celebrating in this world, and they make merry and they're laughing and everybody's happy, it's a very short-lived happiness. In other words, if we look at reality, got a little more money, so what? How long are you going to use that? How are you going to be using that money for? At best, 70 years, 90 years, and so what? So when we talk about really celebrating, real celebration, real happiness is when a person has an eternal success, when the success is related to eternity, meaning it's a spiritual success, when a person does a real mitzvah, or here in our case, where we're talking about humility, and we're saying humility is synonymous with eternal life, if you're talking eternity, that's simcha. That's something to really celebrate. The other stuff is sometimes people are fooling themselves. It's an exaggerate. Ooh, this person bought a new home. Wow, we're so happy for them, etc., etc. What are we so happy about? If we're happy about the fact that in this new home, they're going to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, which are going to help them get to eternity, then there's something to celebrate. That in this house, they're going to be able to do things that are going to assure their eternal joy and happiness, then it's something to celebrate. Whereas if we're just celebrating the materialistic gain or something like that, it's short-lived at best. Ki chayim nitzchim hanal, heim etzem hasimcha niflo. Because eternal life, that's the real fantastic joy and happiness. The ikar huanova hu lizkois letachlis habitul be'emes. And real humility is when a person could be zeichet to really negate themselves completely, lebechinas anova shel Moshe, like the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, shehu bechinas chayim shel kol aver, which we said is the spiritual life of each and every single organ of the body, ad sheyuchal lahagbia liboy bedarkei Hashem, to the point where the person has the ability to elevate themselves and keep growing in their Yiddishkeit, learning more, doing more mitzvahs, better, getting better in quantity and quality of their Yiddishkeit, v'yafal pikein, ye'onov be'emes kanal, and still retaining the humility, still not being arrogant about it, considering it a privilege. It's a privilege to serve Hashem. It's nothing to feel big about, and it's Hashem's kindness that's allowing me to do this. I know I don't even deserve. I don't deserve to put on tefillin. I don't deserve to go to shul. But Hashem in His great kindness is allowing me to participate in Yiddishkeit. He's allowing. So despite the fact that the person is growing, you know, it's the real, Rav Nosson Zal here is again redefining what is real anova. Real anova is when a person is getting closer to Hashem by the minute. He's working as hard and fast as he can to grow in every area of Yiddishkeit while retaining pure, pure humility. Kisham, because up there in the realm of holiness, hakoil echod, it's all one. Humility and greatness are one. They go together. Bebechinas, as the Gemara says, bemokim gidulosoi, shom atamoitzian sanusoi. In the place of Hashem's greatness, you find His humility. So by Hashem, in holiness, greatness and humility go together perfectly. So too, by a Jew who's trying to do this properly, it's possible to achieve greatness, new greatness every single day, and yet retain pure humility. Now, Rav Nosson Zal is going to show this in the words of the Gemara. This is what the Gemara means when the Gemara says, that on Purim, a Jew is supposed to get to such a level of holiness and happiness where he doesn't differentiate between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. Meaning, ad sheyagia lebitul kozeh. We're talking about where the person reaches, achieves such a level of humility, such a level of self-nullification, sheshom ein chiluk bein anovo legadlus, where over there, in that place, there's no difference between humility and greatness. Ki shneim echod, they're both one. Bechinas b'mokim gidulotzoi, shomat tamoid sans fanusoi. Why? Ki oror homon ze bechinas bitul hageus. When we talk about Haman, what are we talking about? We're talking about arrogance. This dirty rat who wanted everybody bowing down to him. He could enjoy that. He could relish. And if one person didn't bow down to him, he was suffering. So he's the example of Gaiva. So when we're talking about Oror Haman, we're talking about Gaiva. Shubchinas Haman. And Oror cursing Haman means elimination of Gaiva. Uboruch Mordechai, and blessing Mordechai, ze bechinas levorech ulahoyer midas hanova. We're blessing and activating, we're turning on the quality of humility. Shu bechinas Mordechai atzadik, which is Mordechai atzadik, shehu bechinas Moshe, who is one of the Moshes. He's one of those tzadikim with that level of humility. Utzrichim bepurim lehizbasem kol kach. And on Purim, a Jew has to reach such a height, such a high, ad shiagia l'simcha kazois, to the point where the Jew is so happy, shubchinas chayim nitzchim, which we said is synonymous with eternal life, toidieni oira chayim, soiva samochais, shehu bchinas tachlis habitul, because the person has nullified his gashmias totally. He's in spiritual mode. Sheshom hagatlus vahanova shneim echod, where in that place greatness and humility go together. Bechinas b'mokim gedulosoi. How do you get to that place? Veze zoichin al yidei shtias hayayin b'purim. The way that a person can lift himself up and get to that high level of holiness, of nullification, self-nullification, where Gedula and Anova go together, where Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai are one, is by drinking on Purim. Shehu bechinas yayin hamisameach. We know that there are different kinds of wines. There's wine that leads a person into, there's drinking wine in a manner that leads a person into depression, drunkenness, vomiting, all kinds of ugliness. And there's holy wine, there's drinking wine, Bigdusha, where the wine becomes Yayin HaMissameach. It's wine that gives, that elevates the person, gives him spiritual joy. Shehu b'chinas Tchias HaMesim, which is synonymous with bringing the dead back to life. She'oz Nisge Lishtois Miyayin HaMishumar. Because the way the Torah describes Tchias HaMesim is that when the dead will be brought back to life, then we're going to drink from the wine that Hashem set aside, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis, the special, special holy wine, Yayin HaMishumar, it's called, the reserved edition. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Yayin Yeshboi Shnei Bechinois, because we know that the Gemara tells us wine has two properties. Kemoi Sham Razal, as the Gemara says in Yuma, page 76, Hainu meaning, when a person is not drinking wine properly with holiness, then the wine draws death on the person. The wine kills the person. Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei chapter 23, don't look at wine, which is redness. And the Gemara says, Achrisoi, the pasuk continues to say there that the Gemara says that wine leads to blood. People kill each other. People get into car accidents from drinking, Rachmon al Islam. And the pasuk continues there, Achrisoi kenochosh yishach uchitzifoini yafrish, that the results of wine are like what happens when a snake bites. Upirish Rashi, Rashi Kodesh says over there on the words uchitzifoini yafrish, Shemafrishoi menachayim. Wine takes a person away from life. Wine kills. Drinking kills in all kinds of ways. V'alkein hayayin mevi shena. And this is also why one of the properties of wine is when a person's drinking it the wrong way is it puts a person to sleep, makes them tired. Shehu echot mishishim b'misa. And the Gemara tells us that sleep is 1/60th of death. So we see there is an aspect of wine that's associated with death. Wine, alcoholic beverages, kill. Ki iker pegam eitz hadas hoya yidei yayin. Because the main negativity of the eitz hadas was wine. K'may shum razal, as it says in Medrash Rabbah, chapter 19 in Bereshis, sochato anovim venosnaloi. She squeezed grapes and gave it to Odom Arishon. So we see that the Eitz Hadas, which brought death into the world, is grapes, it's wine. That's one of the opinions. Shaydeze nimshach zuamas hanochosh. That's what brought the tumah, the snake, into the world. Venigzar misal olam. That's what brought death into the world. That's when the wine is being drunk the wrong way. Avol kol echod tzorech lesaken chet odom rishon. However, every single Jew has a mission to participate in correcting the pigam of Odom Rishon. Ulahamshich pchinas tchias ameisim. And to reverse the situation, the pigam brought death into the world. Every one of us is responsible to bring tchias ameisim into the world. Ve'oz hayayin bigdusha. And as we saw before, when there'll be tchias ameisim, then the wine will be holy. Bibchinas his'oyerus hashene. It'll be a wine that wakes people up. Not a wine that puts people to sleep, that kills people. It'll be a wine that wakes people up. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, v'chikech keyein hatoiv, your upper palate is like a good wine, like a wonderful wine. And the pasuk continues, doivev sifsei yeshenim, which causes the lips of those who are asleep to move. That's the concept of tchias ameisim. Those who are permanently asleep will be brought back to life and their lips will move. Bibchinas, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 67, chamra v'chaye lefum rabbonon. Wine and life in the mouths of the rabbis. Meaning, when a person is drinking wine, bigdusha, the wine is chayim, it's life. Because when wine is drunk properly, it leads to happiness. Shehu ikar hachayim, which is real living. That's called living when a person's happy. Kanal, as we saw before, toidieni oira chayim seiva samochos. Shezeo bechinas, this is the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 104, v'yayin yisamach levav, that there's a kind of drinking wine that brings joy and happiness into the heart. V'alkein, bepurim, she'oz nimshach oras Mordechai, and therefore on Purim, when the light of Mordechai at Tzadik is brought into the world, she'ideze nimshach b'chinas tchias ameisim, which is synonymous with Moshe Rabbeinu, who is humility, which is tchias ameisim, oz hayayin b'kdusha, then the wine is a holy wine, b'chinas yayin hamesameach, a wine that brings happiness, shu b'chinas tchias ameisim, shehu b'chinas tachlis ho'anova v'habitul. Then the wine is something that brings, we know that when people drink wine the wrong way, what happens? They get loud and boisterous and they start pushing people around. They start saying ugly things. That's the negative side. And when a person's drinking wine, bigdusha, it opens up the person's brain to see the greatness of Hashem and to see how small I am. The more I see the greatness of Hashem and tchias ameisim and the goodness, the more I come to recognize how tiny I am. This tachlis ha'anov of habitul, shehu b'chinas ad lo yoda. That's what it means to drink until it blows your mind. Ad lo yoda means senseless, doesn't know the difference between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because the drinking elevates him. When he drinks Bigdusha, the drinking elevates him to a place where Gaiva and Anova are one. Notice the greatness of Tzadikim. We talk about Kavod, giving Kavod to a Tzadik person, or Kavod to your Rabbi. What are you talking about? Kavod is terrible. It's disgusting. The answer is when it's in holiness and when it's being done the right way, the kavod is anova. The kavod doesn't lead to arrogance. Rav Nosson Zal mentioned earlier, by the true tzaddikim, the more you praise them, the smaller they feel, the tinier they feel. Paragraph Chavtes. V'ze b'chinas shenismach parshas vayovoy amolik l'posuk v'al nasoisem es Hashem leimor hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imoyim. Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain something very important now. On Purim morning, we lay in this portion in the Torah, Vayovoy Amolek, Vayilochem em Yisrael Berefidim, that after the Jews had come out of Egypt with total victory, where the Torah says they had gained the respect and awe of the entire world, Shamu Amim Yirgozun, Chiloch Azir, the whole world was trembling, this one lowlife, Amalek, said he saw it, and he knew that the trembling wasn't phony, it was real. They were trembling because the Jews were really on top. He said, it's worth it for me to get burned, it's worth it for me to get hurt, if it'll take a little bit of the air out of that bubble. If I'll make the Jews a little smaller in the eyes of the world, I'm willing to get kicked, I'm willing to get burned. And he went to engage them, but he's going to fight. He's going to start up with them now at their moment of glory. When does this happen? One or two lines before that in the Torah says the Jews came to a place and they started questioning. What was their question? Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu imayin. Is Hashem with us or not? That's the literal translation. The Sifrei Kabbalah explain, look at the words they were using. Hayesh Hashem bekerbeinu imayin. Is yesh with among us or is it ayin? Which aspect of Hashem is with us now? Is it yesh or ayin, as we're going to see in a minute? So they start questioning, and then two lines later, Vayovoy Amolek. Kiheim pogmu begeyus. Because those Jews who started questioning Hashem and challenging Moshe Rabbeinu in the process, their pagam was arrogance. Ki kol hamachloikes shecholku al Moshe, hakoil hoyo al yedei geyus shel doson vaviram, shehiskanu b'moshe v'cholku olav. Because all the machloikes in Mitzrayim, when they got out of Mitzrayim, all the time, it was these two ringleaders, Dosan and Aviram, who were jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, and they're the ones who stirred up the people to oppose Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad shenim shichu achreim oid kamanoshim, until they were able to draw other people into this also, to join them. Kize sheyoda shiflusoi, because any Jew who knew who he was, who knew his own lowliness, and therefore was able to humble himself completely to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and say, they're in charge, whatever they say goes. That Jew would not get up and oppose and speak against Moshe Rabbeinu, no matter what kind of difficulties they were experiencing. They didn't have water, they didn't have this. That's not an excuse to open up a big mouth to Moshe, to start attacking Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you, crazy? V'al kein, and therefore, b'roiv hamachloikis, if you look in the Chumash, every incident after incident where the public is stirred up against Moshe Rabbeinu, what's his response? V'nachnu mo kisalinu aleinu. We are nothing. Me and my brother Aaron HaKohen, we're nothing. Who are you complaining to? Who are you arguing with? We're nobody. We're not in Shashem. You think I did this? You think I can fix this? Hainu shebitel atzmoi betachlis habitul, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw this stuff, what did he do? He nullified himself completely, lehachnia midas hageyus, in order to eliminate the gaiva completely from Klal Yisrael. Because he knew that this is what's bringing them, this is what's allowing them to go oppose Moshe Rabbeinu, to oppose Hashem. It's coming from a place of gaiva. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says, "Hadoivrim teolamno sifse sheker." May there be silenced the lips that speak falseness. Hadoivrois al tzaddik osok begaiva vavuz, which speak against the tzaddik with arrogance and shame. So the Torah is defining that when you see people speaking against arrogance, You want to know where that's coming from? That's coming from a place of gaiva. This person thinks he's somebody, and therefore he's not afraid to challenge Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not afraid to challenge Rabbi Akiva, or, you know, the great rabbis. Ki ho beho talia, because these two are dependent on each other. Rav Nosson Zal wants to make a very important point here. Ki al yedei sheyesh loy geyus, einoy miskarev lahatzadik hoemes. The result of a person being arrogant, thinking highly of himself, is that that will prevent him from coming close to the truth tzaddik. What do I need him for? Who knows? What? I need somebody to teach me how to read. Torah, I know myself. I have to put. I don't need any help. That's one level where the person simply chooses to say no, thank you. I remember Rav Rosenfeld, Zecher Levracha, used to tell us that it's brought that when Moshiach comes, he's going to do a number of things. One of the things he's going to do is cure and heal everybody from any kind of problem, a health problem, any spiritual, physical, everything. He's going to approach every person. There's a pasuk that says, what's the pasuk? Boinei Yerushalayim Hashem. Hashem is going to build up the city of Yerushalayim. That's step number one. Step number two, Nidche Yisroel Yechanes. He's going to gather in all the Jews who have become dispersed in all kinds of distant places, spiritually and physically. Hashem is going to gather all of them in. Step three is Horoyfe Lishvure Lev Umechabesh Latzvoisam. Hashem is going to cure and heal all the brokenhearted and eliminate their atzvus, their depression, their sadness, etc., etc. So Rav Rosenfeld used to say, Mashiach's going to go over to a person and say, what's wrong? What hurts? Now, we know a lot of people are going to say, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Who says anything's wrong? You must have something wrong. If you're asking what's wrong with me, it must be because you have something wrong. Moshiach's going to say, sorry, didn't mean it, have a nice life, and he'll go on to the next guy. Those people who have brains, when Moshiach says, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Everything. What hurts? Everything, from head to toe. I am a clean ishba. There's nothing whole in my body. Every organ of my body is defective, spiritually, on all levels. Mashiach is going to say, really? Watch this. All better. And the person's going to be healed completely. So a person has to know what the answer is. When somebody says, what do you need? Or what? There are people that, I don't need anything. We have to have two pockets at all the times. When a person's standing from Hashem, in front of Hashem, in one pocket, how are things? Excellent, wonderful, Baruch Hashem. I appreciate everything I have. I know everything, any problems I have are for my good, etc., etc. That's in one pocket only. In the second pocket, what do I need? I need everything. There isn't anything I don't need. I'm lacking in every which way possible. There isn't anything of, I don't have shleimus in anything whatsoever. My eyes are not shalim, my brain, my ears, every part of me is lacking in shleimus. I need a refuah from head to toe. And again, this is what we're learning here. This is gaiva and anova. This is a perfect example of it. The same person is saying I'm nobody, that there's nothing good inside of me. And at the same time, you ask him, how you doing? I have everything. Baruch Hashem, everything is great. And it's not a contradiction. He's not nuts. He's not bipolar or lipolar. He's perfectly, he's religious. A religious person is able to do that. Is able to because Hashem's, the way Rabbi Nachman taught us, 23 hours a day, a person is walking around happy, satisfied, fulfilled. Everything is great. And any problem that comes up, it's nothing compared to what it could be or should, or positive. 1 hour a day, you know, it's during his spiritus, a person is allowed to shift gears and go into lev nishbor mode, a brokenhearted state, and examine themselves and examine everything going on and say, whoa, there's so many, I have so many, I need help in so many different areas. That one area, at 1 hour, person's allowed to do that, Rabbi Nazal says, to beg Hashem for all the things you need and to enumerate all the things that are wrong with you, the things that you know. And if you don't have what to enumerate, then you really have what to say. Hashem, I'm so sick that I don't even know what's wrong with me. I don't even know that something's wrong with me. I've become, my heart is so hard-hearted that I can't even open my heart. I can't even talk to you. I don't even know what to say to you. And this is the way, but this is this combination of the Oror Haman, Baruch Mordechai, being one, that there's no difference between them. It's not a contradiction. They're both true. Am I happy? Yes. Do I have everything I need? Yes. In one side of it. On the other side, what are you talking? You mean to say you're perfect? No. I am the epitome of imperfection. Hashem is perfect. And because I believe in Hashem, and because I know Hashem is doing well, so on one, out of one side of my mouth, I have the ability to say everything is great. Because everything is Hashem. At the other side of my mouth, I know who I am. And I am nothing. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm nothing means that I have nothing. I haven't started doing anything good. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was at the end of his life, the last days of his life, Parshas Voeschanan, he begins there praying to Hashem, his the last round where he's begging Hashem one final time to let him into Eretz Yisrael. It says there, Voeschanan el Hashem ba'isei leimar. I pleaded with Hashem. How did he begin his plea? Ato hachiloiso laharois es avdecho. You have begun to show me your greatness. What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? I'm in kindergarten, Hashem. You started showing me. What do you mean? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Started showing you? Yes, that was how Moshe Rabbeinu presented himself to Hashem. Hashem, it's your kindergarten yingle here talking again. And I'm here again starting from scratch and wanting, I need everything. I need elementary school, high school, I haven't done anything yet. So we said here, Kal Yedei Sheyesh Loi Geyus, Einoi Miskarev Lahatzadik Wemes. If a person, Chas V'Shalom, has arrogance, they don't come close to the truth, Tzadikim, because they don't feel the need. You ask him, you need it? I don't need it. What do I need him for? What do I need him for? He has something that I don't have. He's better than me. That's one level. And then there's a worse level. V'yesh shemizgareboy habaldovor. There are those people whom the Yetzirah incites them ad shecholek olav, to the point where they actually speak against tzaddikim. They're not satisfied with leaving it alone, with saying, let him mind his own business, I'll mind my own business. Let him keep his life, I have mine. That's not good enough. They want to make sure nobody else goes to the tzaddik. So they use an opportunity to speak against tzaddikim chas v'shalom. Val yidei she'enoi mekurov la tzaddik, I'm sorry, ad she'cholek olav, until the person opposes the tzaddik. Val yidei she'enoi mekurov la tzaddik, and as a result of a person not being close to a tzaddik, makol shken kish chas v'shalom cholek olav, and especially if he speaks against the tzaddik, that leads to more arrogance. The Gemara says, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, aveira goreres aveira. It doesn't stop. It continues. Ki ikar bitul hageyus zoichin al yidei hiskarvus latzadik. Because if you recall, we learned way in the beginning here that Rabbeinu Zal said the way that a person receives humility is by going to the tzaddik, by seeing the tzaddik. The main way that you eliminate your arrogant olia gaive is by coming close to the tzaddik, al yidei re'iyas ponov hakdoshim, and by seeing his face. Umachma shehem pogmu azbozer, and because of the fact that the Jewish people at that time showed disrespect to Moshe Rabbeinu, they started questioning and debating and everything, al kein nisu es Hashem. That led to them testing Hashem, questioning Hashem. Because the pasuk says, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdoi. Those two go together. A person starts doubting the tzaddik, he ends up doubting Hashem also. V'noflu l'sfeikos, and they fell into doubts of Hayesh Hashem b'kirbom imayin. Whether Hashem is with us, or is Hashem among us, or not. V'isa b'zoyer HaKodesh, Parshas B'Shalach, page 64, it says in the Zohar HaKadosh, Shehoyu Misupokim, what was their question? Their doubt was, Im Habechino Hanikro Yesh Hu Bekirbom, Im Habechino Hanikro Ayin. Whether which aspect of Hashem is with us right now? Is it Yesh or is it Ayin? Because we've spoken about this in the past. Ayin represents Keser. Ayin is one of the nicknames for the crown of Hashem. Ayin means nothingness, where it's above, where, above the vessels. Now, it's Chachma and Bina is like the beginning of where there's vessels, where there's Yesh. We mentioned the pasuk Knei Chachma, Knei Bina. Acquire Chachma, acquire Bina. And the word Knei, Kufnun Hei, is 155. 2 times 155 is 310, which is Yesh. So Yesh represents Chachma and Bina. Ayin represents what's above that. What's above that is nothingness. You know, something that's beyond our, we can't comprehend it at all. The Keser, the crown. So we said Yesh is Yemin Smol. That when you get down to Chachma and Bina, there's already a concept of a right and a left. In Keser, there's no such thing as right and left. It's all kindness. It's all oneness. It's such a high, holy place. So these were the thought, these were the shilas they were asking at the time. Hainu, shehapigam shelahem hoya, sheosu pirud, bein geyus digdusha, shubchinas yesh, ubein anova, shubuchanas ayin. Look how Rav Nosson Zal understands this. It says their question was, is it yesh or is it ayin? So they're implying that Yesh and Ayin are two different things. We just learned that Yeshus, which is Gaiva, Yesh means I'm a somebody, I'm a something, and Ayin is nothing. We learned that in holiness, Yesh and Ayin are one. They're not two different things. B'mokom gidulaso, shama tamotzan sanuso, right? Remember the Gemara said, where you see Hashem's greatness, you see His humility. So Rav Nosson Zal says they were poigim in this concept of separating between anova digdusha and geyus of kedusha. We say Hashem molach geyus lavesh. We say Hashem is gaiva, and we say Hashem is anova. And by Hashem, it's no contradiction. We said in holiness, within true holiness, it's all one. Ki be'emes shnehem echod. Because in reality, they are both one. V'ze ikar tachlis shleimus vanova. And that's the perfection of humility. B'chinas b'mokem gdulosoi, etc. U'machma shehem cholku al Moshe. And because of the fact that they went against Moshe Rabbeinu. U'pogmu ba'anova. And thereby, they were going against humility. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate in anova. Hoyo ikar hapigam she'osu pirut hanal. Their pegam, they did the opposite of what we do on Purim. We said on Purim we're drinking to the point where you don't differentiate between Haman and Mordechai. And by them, they were yes differentiating. They were saying, is it this or is it that? Can't be both. Is it this or is it that? They were implying that they're two different things. Ad shenistapku eze bechina bekirbam. Until they started questioning, which aspect is with us? Is it this or is it that? Vayidezer, what happened? Vayovoy Amolek. Amolek came. Ki Amolek hu zuamas hanochosh. Because Amolek represents the tumah, the impurity of the snake. She ikar his gabrusoy, ayde pegam anova kanal. Where his main strength comes from lack of humility. Remember, how did he get Chava and Adam? You want to be great like Hashem? You know how Hashem became great? He ate from this tree. That's why He doesn't want you to eat from this tree. If you eat from this tree, you're going to be great like Hashem. That's what it says. V'yalkein. So because of the fact that that was the issue, that's what Amalek represents. Amalek represents Gaiva. Who's the one who defeated him? V'yalkein hoyo ikar hachnos v'yalidei Yehoshua. That's why the main one to go out to do battle against him was Yehoshua. Kama Shekosev, as it says, Vayomer Moshe liYehoshua, say hilochem b'Amolek. Moshe Rabbeinu told his student Yehoshua, go out and do battle against Amolek. Ki Yehoshua hoyo talmid Moshe asher lo yomush mitoich oil. Because Yehoshua was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu who displayed the greatest loyalty. The Torah says he wouldn't leave his tent. He was like a puppy, like a little puppy that's so the master goes, he's tagging along wherever he goes. That was Yehoshua. He was so loyal and attached to Moshe Rabbeinu, he wouldn't leave his side. Shehoya mishtadel kol yomov lirois penei Moshe Rabbeinu b'choleis. If he didn't leave his side, meaning where, what was he doing? He was looking at Moshe Rabbeinu all the time. He was looking into Moshe Rabbeinu's face all the time. At shezocho al yedei zeh sheyisnoitzei tzmoichoi. And through that, that's what activated his brain. Remember we saw before, when you look into the face of a tzaddik, that causes his noitzitzus hamoichin, ulekabel kol ha-toira yedei zeh. And that's why he's the one who received the entire Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai, u-mesora li-Yoshua. Where's everybody else? Yoshua got the whole package. Everybody else got the extras. And so he got the whole package. Asher al yedei zeh zeichin la'anova amitiyus. And we said by looking into the more quality time a person spends with the tzaddik, the more a person is looking at the tzaddik, he's receiving this anova. Through this, he's zeichet to anova amitiyus. Shehu hachnoas homon Amalek, which is what brings about the downfall of Amalek, because Amalek is gaiva. He's the opposite of all of this. Paragraph Lamed. V'zeh b'chinas sudas purim u'mishloach monos b'purim. Now, based on all of this, we're going to understand the meaning behind the special suda that we have on Purim and this business of exchanging gifts. Kitzrichim lizkois ha'idei b'chinas anal lebusha. Because as we learned earlier from Likutei Moran, that what is a person trying to achieve through all of this? By looking at the face of the tzaddik, by having this humility, this notzamochim, the person is trying to get to a level of shame and embarrassment. Ad she yizbayesh lohoishet hamaycha lepiv. Rabbi Nazal writes there in Likutei Moran, to the point where the person is embarrassed to put the food in his mouth. Because the Gemara says, a person who's eating what's not his is ashamed and embarrassed to face the one who's giving, person who's getting freebie, it's embarrassing. So a person who recognizes that Hashem is everything and I'm nothing. It's not that I worked, I got a paycheck, that's why I bought the food, so it's my food all. I mean, of course Hashem is involved, but it's mine also. The more a person recognizes that there is no mine, that it's all Hashem. Who gave me the work? Whoever. It's Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. So now if it's all Hashem's and I'm a guest here in my house, it's not my house, my food. I'm a guest. Hashem is allowing me to partake in his food. The Gemara says that a person who eats without making a bracha is a thief. Why? Because there's a pasuk, Lashem horot simloya. Hashem makes it perfectly clear. Everything here is mine. Who gave you rishus? What do you mean your name is on the door? The mezuzah is on the door. That's Hashem's name. It's Hashem's house. So everything is Hashem's. Hashem says, if you make a bracha where you make it perfectly clear to yourself and everybody else that it's Hashem's food, you're a guest. If you do that, then Hashem says you're allowed to eat it. So when a person has that, a guest feels a little bit, if a guest is honest and respectful of the host, then he feels a little bit of shame, embarrassment in the presence of the host. I'm in somebody else's house, eating somebody else's food, all of that. So Rabbi Nazar says there, that's the level that we're trying, one of the levels we're trying to get to. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, Mishom Chofar Oichel. This is a pasuk which associates these two words. Oichel means eating. Chofar means shame and embarrassment. There's a pasuk v'chofra halavona. In that pasuk, it doesn't. In that pasuk, the literal translation of chofra has a different meaning. But Rabbi Nazar brings this pasuk to associate the eating and the shame. That there's a concept of when a person's eating, of feeling ashamed and embarrassed. Kamei shekosu shom, as Rabbi Nazar writes over there. Avol kishezoichen lebusha kazois be'emes. However, when a person is zeicha to this kind of busha, for real, where again he has such recognition of Hashem's greatness and how small he is, shayidei zeh zeichen l'tshuva, which leads to tshuva, because boishes, the commandment to do tshuva in the Torah is v'shavta ad Hashem alokecha, you will return to Hashem. The word shavta is the letters boishes. That how does a person do real tshuva? When does, again, a kid does something wrong in a house. When do you know that he's really doing tshuva? When he's really embarrassed about what he did. Not because you yell at him and he gets it. When the person themselves realizes who the parents are and how special the parents are and how much the parents do for them and how much I should be thanking them and how much I should be wanting to make them feel good. And instead, I went ahead and did this. I hurt my parents so deeply that when a person has that recognition of who they are, who I am, that leads to a shame and embarrassment. And when the person feels ashamed, then you know they're not going to do it again. Until a person feels that, sometimes, even if they say to you, I'm sorry, if they don't really feel ashamed, it's going to be easy. It might be easy for them to slide and to do it again. But shame and embarrassment is a recognition of the truth. That's real recognition. And through this busha and tshuva, a person draws upon themselves eternal life. We quoted the pasuk before, v'shuvu v'chiyu. You will return to Hashem, you will live. That's talking about this eternal life. V'azai, Hashem yisporach merachim olav, u'moichel avaynoisav. And what happens then? Hashem has rachmonis on the person and forgives all of his sins. We mentioned this before, but it pays to emphasize this. The Gemara says that a person who does an avera, one avera, and feels embarrassed about it, moichlen loy al kol avaynoisav. He is forgiven for all of his sins. This item of busha is so special. It's a detergent that's so powerful. Picture you put a detergent, a person has a big stain on a certain part of the pants, and they say, we're advertising a new detergent. Listen to this thing. You put a drop of it on the spot where the stain is, and you watch the stain go away, and the whole garment, the thing expands, and it whitens, it cleans the entire garment. That's busha. That's what the Gemara, that's how the Gemara defines busha, how special a quality this is when it's put in the right place. Umavir cherposoi uboshtoi. And Hashem removes the shame and embarrassment. Kamay Shekosov, as the Pasuk says in Tzvanya, chapter 3, Bayoim hahu loy sevoi shimi kol al loisayech. Hashem says, on that day in the future when Mashiach's going to come, you will no longer be ashamed and embarrassed of all your mistakes, of all your things. Va'oz Hashem Yisborach bi'atzmoi mevakesh es Yisrael sheyoichlu v'yishtu v'lo yizbayshu oid. And then Hashem invites the person in such a loving, adoring way where the person doesn't feel embarrassed. We know, I've seen write-ups about this. This is an important thing maybe to mention. Those of us who live in Yerushalayim, where there are many schools and there are students that come from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and many of these schools, despite the fact that they charge 30, 40 grand a month, a year, you know, they don't give meals, or on Shabbos they don't give meals. The kids go to eat out. They're guests in other places. For those who invite these guests, though, most times when a person invites a guest, it's a tremendous privilege. We said before that taking a guest into your home is higher than receiving the Shekhinah. However, as we said before, the example we gave, when it comes to showing respect for a parent, person can do it one way and get himself a one-way ticket into Gehenna, and the other way is a one-way ticket to Gan Eden. If a person gives his father, the Gemara gives the example, the most expensive meat, and the father says, wow, this is so delicious. Where did you get this? How are you able to buy such expensive? And the son says, what are you asking? Mind your own business. What are you asking questions? I gave you the meat, eat it. And you don't have to quit. It's none of your business where I got it from. The Gemara says, even though that piece of meat cost $100 or $500, that son is going to get Gehenna for that meal, for giving his father that meal, because he presented it the wrong way. And here also, when we talk about a person invites a guest, there's a way of a guest in your house where the guest, don't touch it, don't go over there, don't do that, you know. And there's another way of inviting guests. Wow, we're so happy you're here. You don't know what it's like when we don't have guests. The house is like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. You're making the Shabbos. The whole, to make the guest feel like the best, like he's the host. Like he's mamish, the one who's bringing, he's the life of the party. He's mamish. We couldn't have it. The meal would be nothing if we didn't have you at our table. That kind of feeling. So here, Rav Nosson Zal quotes the pasuk, which says that in the future, Hashem is going to invite us to be his guests. It says, He's going to invite us to eat and drink and not be embarrassed at all. Shezeh b'chinas haftocha. This is the promise in Yoel chapter 2. Va'achaltem ochoel v'savoya. You will eat to your total satiation. V'hilaltem es shem Hashem alekechem. Asher osa imochem lahafli. And you will praise Hashem, who has done all of these wondrous things for you. V'lo yevoshu ami la'olam. And my nation will never be embarrassed again, will never be ashamed again. So we see that again, there's a level of being ashamed and embarrassed, and then there's the next level, where a person gets so close to Hashem, where Hashem says, you're not a guest, you're family. It's my privilege to have you joining me in a meal. V'zeh zoichin b'purim. And this is what the Suda on Purim is all about. She'oz zoichin lahamshir b'chinas chayim nitzchiyim. On Purim is when we're drawing eternal life upon ourselves. As we said before, Mordechai Atzadik, we defeated, we got rid of Haman, the death, and we're experiencing true life. V'zeh b'chinas, this is the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, chapter 5. Bosi legani achoisi kala. Hashem says, I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride, orisi moiri imbisomi. I smell the moir. Moir is one type of beautiful smelling thing, together with psom and with the other sweet smelling spices. Moiri imbisomi zebchinas Mordechai v'Esther. Moir and psomim represent Mordechai and Esther. Moiri zebchinas Mordechai, moir dror. The Gemara says, where do we see Mordechai mentioned in the Chumash? In the psalmim, in the spices that they use to make the shemen amishcha, it says mor deror, and the targum is Mordechai, Mordechai. So we see that Mordechai at tzaddik is represented by this bosom, by this perfume. Im psami besamim zebchinas Esther. That's Esther. What was Esther's name? Hadassah. Shenikra Hadassah. She was called Hadassah, and we know that the hadassim have a good smell to them. Ochalti, so the pasuk says, orisi moiri imsomi, I gather together the different types of sweet-smelling spices, Mordechai and Esther, ochalti yari imdivshi, and I ate my food with honey, Pirush Rashi, shekibel masheenoi roi imhoroi. This pasuk is referring to the fact that Hashem accepted that which wasn't really worthy, together with that which was worthy. Ze bechinas simchas Purim. This is what the joy of Purim is all about. Shashim izborach mekabel be'ahavo kol ma she'osim Yisrael machmas simchas Purim. That Hashem accepts everything we're doing with love, with joy, out of the happiness of Purim. Purim is such a happy day that if you do this or you do that, Hashem says, it's all great. It's whatever you do is wonderful. It's all great. Even though there's fun and there's craziness, there's a little bit of craziness, insanity, which seems inappropriate. Hey, this is a religious holiday. This isn't Halloween. This is a religious thing. What are they playing around for? Even though, which seems improper, Hashem accepts it all with love. Because we're doing this to celebrate the holiday of Purim, which is incredibly great. And then what does Hashem say there in Shir Hashirim? Ichlu reim shesu v'shichru doidim. Drink, my friend. Eat, my friends. Drink and get drunk, my beloved friends. Ki Hashem Yisborach kaviyochel biatzmoi mevakesh es Yisrael sheyoichlu v'yishtu besimcha v'lo yizbay shoyed kanal. On Purim, who's hosting it? Hashem's the host, and Hashem is saying, "Please, come join me. Come be my guests and enjoy. So I don't want you to sit nervous. Don't touch this. Don't." I want you to have a great time. I want you to enjoy, and no shame, embarrassment. V'zeh b'chinas, ma shekoidem Purim, misanim tainas Esther. Now listen to this. Based on this, we'll understand why. What comes before Purim? The fast of Esther. Ki hatainis bishvil tshuva. The Gemara says that fasting is to prepare a person for repentance. Fasting puts you in the frame of mind for tshuva. Hainu shemamshichem al atzman busha. What is tshuva, we said before? Shavta is boishes, which means we draw upon ourselves this shame and embarrassment. Adshem is baishim lohech tamach befiv. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there on Kutimran, what's shame? Shame is when you're ashamed to put the food in your mouth. What do you do when you're ashamed to put the food in your mouth? You don't eat, you fast. Fasting is an expression that I'm so embarrassed that I can't put food in my... What do you mean? It's not my food. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I've been so disloyal to Hashem. How can I eat? How can I eat? It's Hashem's food. I'm such a mess. I'm covered with mud from head to toe. How can I eat? V'zeh b'chinas hatainis shel kol habalei tshuva. And this is also the concept of people who want to do tshuva. And one of the things they do usually is fasting. They accept upon themselves additional fasts above the standard fasts of Klal Yisrael. For example, this week, we are reading Parshas Shemois, and we're kicking off this era of Shemois, Vo'era, Boi, Beshalach, Yisroi, Mishpatim, these 6 weeks, which are called Shoivovim, which is a time for tshuva. This is when we read the portion of the Torah of the Jews going down to Egypt, going into exile, to be cleansed, to be purified and purified and repurified in order to atone for the Eitz Hadas, in order to atone for selling Yosef HaTzadik, for all the different things, to be purified and cleansed to be ready to receive the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, where it speaks about the beginning of receiving the Torah over there. So one of the customs during Shoivovim is that there are people who fast Monday, Thursday. There are people who fast one of those 2 days. There are people who fast a half a day. My Rebbe Zichron Livracha, Reb Michel, towards the end of his life, I don't know what he did earlier, I only knew him in the later years of his life, but he would fast a half a day on Thursday, at least. That was at least to participate. He was 80 years old at the time, 90, at least to feel part of it, to know it's Shoivovim, to remind myself that this is a time for tshuva. There are people who have one of the customs is not to eat dovor min achai, not to eat something that comes from a living thing, like an animal or a fish or the... for 1 day of the week, during these weeks of Shoivovim. The Arizal speaks about this. These are all different aspects of tshuva to remind ourselves that we are in Golus today. Mitzrayim wasn't 2000. We're in Mitzrayim today. We're still in Golus. And until we correct ourselves, chas v'shalom, we're still here. Ki ikar hatshuva hi abusha, because we said again, one of the most important aspects of tshuva is this embarrassment. She'oz mizbaishim lechol, where a person is ashamed to eat. When a person feels, a lot of times a person goes to a certain place and they ask them, did you eat any? Oh, I was embarrassed. What do you mean? There was food? Why didn't you eat? I was too embarrassed. So we see that one result from his embarrassment is unable to eat, that kind of thing. Alkain misanin. And unfortunately, it's a known item that people who have eating disorders, people who overeat and everything, most of them will not do it in front of other people. They'll hide. When nobody's around, boom, 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 they'll grip, finish the whole cake, finish the whole, that kind of thing. Because again, they would be ashamed to do it in front of somebody else. This is why Rabbeinu Zal says that the correct way for a Jew to eat is that whenever you're eating, if there's nobody present physically, to picture as if you're sitting in front of a king, in front of a dignitary. And the kind of respect and the kind of busha, what you would be ashamed and embarrassed to do if there was somebody in front of you, don't do it when there's nobody in front of you either. Eat slowly, carefully, think before each bite. Should I finish this? Maybe I had enough. Maybe I don't have to finish the plate. Maybe I don't have to finish the cake. Alkein misanin. Therefore we fast. V'zeh b'chinas tainas Esther koidem Purim. And this is the concept of the fast day before the holiday of Purim, where we're in that frame of mind of busha, tshuva. The fast helps us do a real tshuva, which leads to eternal life, v'shuvu v'chiyu, shubchinas chay olam haba, which is the life of olam haba, she'oz ne'mar, v'achaltem ochel v'savoya. What's olam haba? There you will eat to your fulfillment, v'lo yevoy shu'ami lo olam, and you will never be embarrassed. It's interesting, just for a moment, Rav Nosson Zal, when he explains Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are both high holy days, right? And they're part of the same Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And yet they're different as night and day. You look at Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, it says in the Navi Nehemiah that he said to the Jews, Ichlu mashmanim ushesu mamtakim ki chedvas Hashem himuzchem. Eat and drink because joy with Hashem is your strength. That's what it says about Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur, if you touch a drop of food, you're finished. You know, Yom Kippur is the opposite. On Rosh Hashanah, we do not do any vidui at all. We don't confess our sins on Rosh Hashanah. On Yom Kippur, it's wall-to-wall vidui. It's only vidui. Every Shmon Esrei, the quiet Shmon, the big Shmon, 10 times we go through the vidui. What's going on? So Rav Nosson Zal explains there, you need to know how this works. It's a two-step procedure. When a person is first starting to do tshuva, step one is busha. Step one is, I'm so embarrassed. When a person's embarrassed, can they talk? When a person's ashamed of themselves, can they talk? No. That's why in Rosh Hashanah, we do not say vidui. Why? Because this is my first step in tshuva. I'm realizing that I did things wrong. I'm too embarrassed to speak. That's why there's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah. And again, the shofar. What is the shofar? The shofar is oi, oi. The shofar is koil beloy dibur. When you know, what are you playing a shofar? It's, tell me what you want. Can't talk. On Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of tshuva when we can't speak. We can only cry and be silent from the vidui. After we've gone the 10 days, but the fact is the Torah says, Mechase pshov lo yatzliach. If a person covers up his sins, he will not succeed. Umoide v'oizev yiruchem. If a person confesses and accepts upon himself not to repeat it, then Hashem has rachmanis. So where's the confession? The answer is after a person goes through phase one. Phase one is the shame and embarrassment. Phase two is, okay, now get it together. Now you come and apologize. Lahavdil. When people get into an altercation, people get into a fight, a disagreement, something terrible, or a child does something against the parent, the Gemara says, Ein meratzin esolam b'shas kasoy. When the person is angry, and the person says, I'm sorry. That I'm sorry won't do anything. The I'm sorry at the wrong time, when the person first committed the crime, it's out of place. The first response has to be shame and embarrassment. Too embarrassed. The person says anything at the time, it shows that they don't get it. They didn't get it yet. They don't know what they did yet. Because if they knew what they did, they wouldn't be talking. The first thing, they wouldn't be talking and they wouldn't be eating. They would stop, period. After you get over that initial embarrassment, then there is a tremendous significance to verbalizing it. Going over and saying, I thought over what I did. I was so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed, Hashem. I'm really sorry. I'll do everything I can not to repeat it. So here he's showing us also that Purim is a two-step procedure. There's the Tainus Esther, which is the tshuva, the fasting, ashamed to eat. And once we do that, Hashem says, now welcome. He puts out the red carpet and says, come join me in a banquet, not a meal, a banquet, with no shame. No shame means drinking wine. Well, you know, laughing. When can a person break loose? When the guy says, take off your coat, take off your jacket, come on, loosen up. We're going to have a good time here. That's the Sudas Purim, you know, a good time in holiness. And this is also this special avoida of sending gifts and receiving gifts on Purim. She'anu medapkim b'midoisav yisporach. We're emulating Hashem. Umamshichim he'ora zoi san Purim, and we're drawing this light of Hashem upon us on Purim, dahainu meaning, shekol echod shoyleach lechaveiroi monois umacholim lesamchoi lechaskoi. That just like we said on Purim, Hashem sends out invitations and says, everybody come join me in the party. We're having a party. I want everybody to come and have a great time. If that's what Hashem is doing, we emulate Hashem. We send gifts to our friends saying, here, please, I want you to have this meat that I made, this fish, this cake. I want you to enjoy this. To bring joy and happiness and encouragement to the people, that they should eat and celebrate in the meal on Purim, and not be embarrassed. Again, when you come to my house, you're embarrassed. You don't. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you with a package. So there's no shame and embarrassment at all, right? Kigam Hashem Yisborach mazhir umevakeshos es Yisrael sheyoichlu veyishtu velo yisbaishu. Because Purim is a day when Hashem warns the Jews. Eat, drink, no shame. Drink wine, this is a day of no shame. Kizeh yodua, because it's a known fact. Shekol mitzvah u'mitzvah. Now he's presenting a rule. This is one of the main rules in Chassidus. Shekol mitzvah u'mitzvah shanu oisin, bekol zman uzman. Each and every mitzvah that we do at a particular time, the mitzvahs that we do on Pesach, the mitzvahs that we do on Sukkot, kifi he'oroso, kifi ha'he'oro, shetzrichim ato lahamshich milamalo, kifi azman. The mitzvahs that we do on a particular holiday are directly related to the type of light that we're trying to draw from Hashem on that particular holiday. Ki bisarusa de lesato isar leila. Because our action down here brings a reaction from Hashem. By me eating matzah on Pesach, it brings about the exact response that I'm looking from Hashem, for what Hashem is dishing out on Pesach. By me fasting on Purim, it brings a reaction from Hashem for Hashem to give what He gives on Purim. V'alkein, b'Purim, al yidei mitzvas mishloach monos. Therefore on Purim, by a Jew going ahead and baking a cake and buying this and bringing it to your neighbor, bringing it to your friend, she'echot sholeach lechaveiroi, a Jew sends this to his friend, she'yoichal v'yishta, I want you to eat and drink, ayideze nimshach he'oras Purim. That's how I draw on myself this great light of Purim, shehu bechinas ichlu reim, which is Hashem's blessing. Hashem saying, eat, buddy. Eat, enjoy. Shashim Yisborach mevakesh es Yisrael sheyoichlu veyishtu velo yisbaishu. That Hashem invites the Jewish people, come eat and drink, no shame, no embarrassment. Bechinas, as the pasuk we quoted, va'achaltem ochel v'savoya ve'hilaltem velo yevoishu ami loyam. And my people will never be ashamed again. That's the Mishloach Monos. Umatonos levyoinim, and then the charity that we distribute on Purim, the gifts to the poor people, shehut tzedaka, because if you remember 1,000 pages ago, we mentioned, ki tzedaka bechinas shleimus hanova, that tzedaka was an incredible example of perfection of humility, bechinas oyer haponim, that's how you receive the light of Hashem's face. Ukemavur heitav leil binyan parshas shkolim, as we explained very well a few pages ago when we discussed why Purim is preceded by parshas shkolim, shekoyrin koydim Purim, which we read before Purim. Baruch Hashem.